Hey everyone, you're listening to Deeper Grooves, Musicians on Music, hosted by Cliff Beach and sponsored by California Soul Music Record Label. Today I had the honor and pleasure of speaking with Ty Taylor about his band Vintage Trouble and their latest single, Not Alright By Me. I'm looking so forward to talking with him. Please help me welcome Ty.
Hello, Ty?
Yes.
Hello, Ty. It's Cliff Beach from Deeper Grooves. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. How is your day going so far?
My day is amazing.
Awesome. Well, we're definitely excited to have you on. We've definitely, in the last couple of weeks, watched your live from Harvel, so super excited to kind of talk about that, just to kind of learn how the band is doing. We've been fans for a long time.
All right. Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you. So to get into it, let's talk about your most recent single, which is Not Alright By Me. It's clearly influenced by the times and what's happening with civil rights and the current climate in the United States. What was your approach to writing and creating this new kind of anthem? Definitely something that needed to be said, but what was your process of kind of creating it and then getting the single out?
Well, we wrote the song Not Alright By Me for our Bomb Shelter Sessions record. And that was 10 years ago. And so we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of being together as a band and the release of that record. And it was striking me over the head. I wish it was softly, but it's not. It was just bashing me against the head about how many of these songs that are written through time that feel like they're serving a certain movement. Their necessity doesn't go away. Now, as a songwriter, that's amazing because your song has a life that lives longer than the moment that you wrote it. And it feels more universal to more causes than what you may have written it about. But the hard thing is that emotionally, there's a reason to keep needing these songs. You know, you think we keep getting past things. You know, when we wrote Not Alright By Me, it was about pollution and this kind of thing. And then through the 10 years we've been playing it, all these things have happened that it seemed like we'd written a song specifically for that. You know, just when you think the world has a bit of rest, and it feels like it's having, you know, a little bit more relaxation time, then these things come up again that make us realize that the world is in turmoil and hurting. And then so when the song Not Alright By Me was being posted on our social media sites, once all the George Floyd thing started going down, it made us realize that it was time to revamp the song and make the song feel not generally good for the George Floyd and police brutality platform, but instead we wanted to make it be specific for that. So then we started thinking, what is the most important thing we can talk about right now? The death is in the past, and what can push the future to a better place would be to help hop on the Eight Can't Wait campaign. So then I thought about to myself, what is it that we can't wait for? You know, we don't want to wait for another name for this list of people that just go down unwarrantedly. And then what can't wait is we don't want to have African Americans feel unsafe on the streets. So then we just wrote a new verse, which is brother face down to the ground, screaming mercy, mercy, please. A man in midnight blue upon his neck with heavy knee. Choked out is a life when there is no hope left to breathe, and that's not all right by me. So that was a verse we changed. And then we also added a part at the end, which is we can't wait for there to be another name whose lives they take. Can't make the move too late. Because a lot of times what will happen is everyone in their minds, we sit around and we talk about what needs to be done. But we talk and talk so much that by the time we get to it, we've already lost so many lives. So the fact that we can't wait and we can't move too late was an important thing I wanted to tag on, and the band went for it. Now, the song was a ballad before. It had a folkier feel. At the time, it felt like something that would have happened during civil rights movement, but done from a point of view of a Bob Dylan, let's say, or James Taylor, a little more Laurel Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because we are in a time now of Black Lives mattering more than ever, or not mattering to some, unfortunately, I felt like what we should do, I talked to the band about it, was think back to some of the big times in the 70s with the civil rights movement. And what we thought about was the big Watts Festival. And as we mm-hmm. looked back into that, then we saw, to me, the most powerful performance, one of the most powerful performances of that day or of that festival was the Staple Singers' Respect Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So then I talked to Nolly and I was like, listen, how about this? Why don't we think about, you know, what would Pop Staple do on this? And he came up with this amazing riff, and then it just changed the vibe of the song. So then that led the direction of this new song. It felt more like a soul song, whereas Not All Right By Me, the original, felt more like a folk rock song. So I felt like it was important that people felt the depth of a heavy step of people that had been in slavery at some point. That's a different march than a Laurel Canyon march. And then Richard laid that groove down that made it feel really heavy. Rick had the bass lines, and then before we knew it, we had this song. So I'm sorry, there's a long answer to your short question.
No, that's quite all right. I mean, it's very poignant and well done. It's great to see the evolution and the thought process behind how you would create that. And I've listened to it, you know, on repeat several times, and it's very enjoyable for the listener, but there's definitely a lot of meat on that bone.
Are you a singer? Are you the singer in your band?
Yes, I'm a singer and the songwriter.
Have you tried to sing along to it yet?
Yes, in the chorus and stuff. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. That part, when this interview is over, I beg you to just see if it feels the same way it does in your body, the way it feels in mine. If you just sing along to that end, that out part, that we can't wait for there to be another name whose lives they take, can't make that move too late. There's something, and again, I consider a lot of songwriting to be a gift and just being a vessel, so I don't really take credit for it. But just see if it makes your body feel really strong. And because as much as possible, African-Americans, we can't get people that aren't African-American to feel who we are. And it's nice to have other people get in the body of your song because they feel what you were thinking when you were writing it. And they feel the impulse of where it comes from. Are you African-American?
Yes, I am.
See? So you'll see, as soon as you get into it, you'll see why I felt, you know, what I was talking about as far as the message. And I hope that it takes you out of this current day. Because, you know, we talk about things differently in the current day as they did, you know, when the civil rights movement was happening. There was this edge to it. And that's what I was trying to do. So maybe if you try it, see what it does to your body.
Yeah, you definitely have to feel it in your bones and in your soul. And I love singing to it. It's very, not only listenable, but enjoyable. But it's just the beat and everything is really good. So I like the evolution of moving from the folk into what it is now.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the feeling of protest, you know, to enjoy, you know, I know because you're thinking it's a message that we're not supposed to be enjoying, but there is joy in actually doing something. So I think to feel joy from that song is a good thing for me. You know, I don't want it to ride in hurt and hate and pain. I want, just like blues singers, you know, most people get confused. Modern day people sing blues and they're all like got that blues face on. Most blues singers back in the day were smiling because they were releasing the blues. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the joy that you're feeling from it, I am thankful that you chose to acknowledge.
Yeah, it's very cathartic to be able to get that out. And it makes people feel more connected and less alone. And that they are doing something positive. And
they feel a release. And it's a release. You feel the vibration and the release. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly how that feels. And I agree with that about blues. There's all, you know, there's all different types of blues and they get expressed in different ways. But yeah, people will need to push out that energy. Everyone should sing or play an instrument or something just to get it out of them sometimes.
Yep.
So then, what is the origin? Let's talk about the original origins of you guys starting in 2010, since you're celebrating your anniversary, and who you consider your influences, because your sound is described obviously as retro and reminiscent of 50s and 60s blues and rock artists. They mentioned the Rolling Stones and Chuck Berry and the Animals. And I think, you know, for a lot of people that are not familiar with the history, rock comes from blues and the black music idiom in history, but would you say those kind of comparisons are accurate, or how do you describe your sound?
Well, I think they are accurate. Most people that are going to describe it that we read about are not soul people. I think what people forget to add is the depth of the soul that I choose to bring. But that just comes from a lot of times people in the blues world today, as horrible as it sounds to say out loud, but it is the truth, most of them are not African-American.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say blues, they're going to say blues rock, and they're not going to say blues soul or blues rhythm and blues. They're not going to say blues anything. They're just going to say blues, and they're going to think old school blues, but most of these people making the comments are not African-American, so they're not going to know to say things about, you know, the band sounds like the artist that you said, but really with an Otis Redding or a Sam Cooke or someone that's so obvious to where I get all of my inspiration from, or mainly Tina Turner. So I think just all the elements that you said are correct. Those things definitely describe my band. I think what I would love to have out front more is the soul element. But it's a nice combination. Each of the players in my band have such different backgrounds. You know, Nale is definitely a blues guitar player, you know, who grew up listening to a lot of rock and roll. Richard is definitely a rock drummer who grew up listening to a lot of Laurel Canyon music. Rick is definitely a rhythm and blues and like even a modern hip hop bass player who listens to a lot of, you know, Dave Jameson and all these kind of people that are more rhythm and blues and soul based. And then I'm definitely more of a soul singer. You know, I base all of my singing in early soul singers, which actually stem from jazz. So, you know, I love the Sam Cookes and the gospel inspiration that he has. I love the Jackie Wilson and the jazz inspiration he has. I love the Otis Redding and the creation of early rhythm and blues that he was. You know, those are my jams. And then my favorite is Tina Turner. And it's because she had all that soul, rhythm and blues and gospel background, but then she had the edge to be, she had the desire to be, or I don't know, maybe it was forced into her. She got this part of her that was a little more rebellious and rock and roll like. And that's the rebellion and non-conforming energy that I like about performance I got from her. So, again, sorry I'm giving all these long answers to your seemingly direct questions, but they're so full once you start talking about them. I love the fact that people say our band feels like Led Zeppelin or The Who, fronted by, I guess the New York Times or someone said like that, fronted by James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exciting to me because I didn't really grow up listening to much. I listened to enough to James Brown, but he's not like my main inspiration. Again, James Brown is such a great funk and soul singer. I'm more of a singer that, you know what? I'm going to take this back. I listened to more early James Brown when it was like the Try Me time and these kind of things where there was more melody. As a singer and a songwriter, I'm attracted first to songs that have melody more so than just vibe. And what I really like about, you know, what I like about him, but not inspired by as an artist, is the later James Brown, that no one can combat him as far as vibe and coolness and funk and jam and hooks and isms, you know. But I happen to like more of the melody-based soul singers, which are, you know, the people I mentioned earlier. Even my favorite male singer is Little Willie John. As far as early soul singers, he's my favorite. And the only reason I found out about him was because I think it's important as artists that we find out who inspired our inspirations. And Sam Cooke cites Little Willie John a lot as his main inspiration. So then I did some research on that and found out about him. And thank God I found out about him.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to check that out. I've never heard of Little Willie John, but...
You've never heard of Little Willie John?
No, I have to check it out.
But... Little Willie John is the person that recorded the first version of the song Fever. You know Fever?
Oh yes, right. Yes, I have heard that name
right
there.
And you know the song I Need Your Love So Bad?
Uh-huh.
He was the original of that, too. You know, most people know that outside of blues and rhythm and blues, most people know that song because Fleetwood Mac did that. And the original, Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, you know, it's the earlier days Fleetwood Mac. Yeah, so it's check him out. He's got some, as a singer, his tone and his note choices, his detail on presenting, not even just the way he presents words, but the syllables inside of each word. It's just, he's a lesson. Consider me telling you this a gift, and consider it cheap education.
No, I definitely consider it that way. It's so interesting, too, when you talk about Little Willie John and saying that he was the first person to do fever. It's so tough sometimes in the history and the lexicon that a lot of Black artists were just overshadowed by the white versions of...
Yeah, just because they had more money behind the promotion. So most people are going to think of Fever as Peggy Lee. Most people think of Hound Dog as Elvis Presley.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. So then, now that you guys are celebrating your anniversary, you've been doing some shows. Like I said, I saw some of the live footage that you did from Harvel. I think you guys were doing a Pershing Square series as well recently. So how is it performing in this new world we're living in from a distance?
It's really great, actually. You know, you have to start digging from a different place. You know, a lot of times as performers, a lot of our validation and security comes from outside source. You know, how is it feeling? Not how is it feeling, how are people reacting? We love to connect. So without that, you've got to dig from a different place, a place that has to do with, you know, going deeper inside of you and understanding that what you're doing in each moment is a feeling that you just have to trust, or feeling inside when it's not feeling right, you have to ignite with inside yourself. You're not looking into someone's eyes to tell you you're doing well. It's almost like being in a relationship with someone. It's easier to not have to use your own opinion about yourself because you can just look at them. That's what it's like when an audience is there. But when you're by yourself, it's like doing that self, you know, that your real self-awareness work where you're digging inside yourself to talk to your own self about your validation and to know that what you're doing is feeling right and trusting that it's happening. You know, I do this thing now where I've trained my body to know that whatever I'm doing, I get a response 30 seconds later from people, you know, and that's been a hard thing to deal with because you know that, you know, I drop to my knees. And then I move on to something else where I'm crying and it's simpler. And then I get the reaction to my knees. So it's like you'd have to play games with your mind also. But I was saying this to my friend the other day, this comedian. It can't be as bad for us as it is for comedians. Because to be a comedian and be telling jokes and hear nothing back when you're done, like that's got to be the hardest. The comedians have to have the hardest job right now, I think, as far as live stream performance.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea how they would do that without the
right reaction. Right. The timing. I mean, I guess they know it from rote. You know, they know to say something. They know how long to wait because people are probably laughing even if they're at home before you're going to, you know, lose the timing for your next joke. You know, you got to wait. You know, it's all about that dance. And so I feel like, you know, as hard as it is for us, it's not as bad as it is for comedians.
Definitely. I mean, I've seen that live, too, where – you know, even if a musician or band has a few people, they can still play and it's very intrinsic for themselves. But comedy, you kind of need an audience of someone laughing or it just feels like cricket.
Right. Exactly.
So then outside of the band, you're originally from New Jersey. You also did some work on the HBO series Vinyl. You had two songs that were on the soundtrack. And, you know, it's just really cool to follow your career. You've done some musical theater work and other stuff. Where does tie begin and end, and how does that come into Vintage Trouble? I mean, are they synonymous and the same, or do you feel the symbiotic relationship with the other players create Vintage Trouble? Like, how do you separate the two, or are they separated?
Well, I mean, I think it's just in the same way, you know, Vintage Trouble, you know, is who I'm married to, but like, you know, just you can't find everything you need in someone. And luckily, you know, I grew up doing a lot of things, you know. I was in a band on Electra, Dakota Moon,
mm-hmm.
That was before this. And, you know, we had a lot of top 10 hits around the world. But like you said, I did theater before Vintage Trouble. You know, I went to school for acting. I've done a lot of acting. I've done a lot of, you know, commercials. And, you know, I've been doing commercials since I was, you know, not even a year old.
Wow.
And, yeah, I was the first Black Pampers baby. And so there's all this stuff I've been doing. And at the end of the day, I don't know where I end. Every day of my life, I learn more things. So I don't know where I end. I do know that the center of me has to do with mid-century rhythm and blues and jazz music. You know, I have a jazz album as well that I did release as independent that I will be releasing bigger in a second. And that's been a real big education for me into rock and roll. Again, you know, when you think about the foundation, jazz was one of the first things that African Americans considered their own here in America. It's one of the mediums that was not taken from us, a little bit like rock and roll was. So I'm glad to even be doing that kind of digging into the history of music by doing my jazz project. And with Vintage Trouble, it's really the heart of who I am. As you grow older, I think you have to adjust your music for your life if you want to stay authentic. So even as Vintage Trouble, you know, like, I guess it's not as hard for us because we do base ourselves in 50s and 60s music. I imagine it'd be the hardest for people that are like in punk bands and these kind of things where your first love is based in teenage angst. You know what I mean? Then how do you keep that going as you get older? You know, for us, it's a little easier because, you know, we can dig deeper and go into history. But I don't like to feel like a retro band. I don't like to feel like something from the past. So, you know, some of our later records, we're actually inspired by music that comes after us. And then the real dance is to figure out how to make those things work beautifully together so you don't feel like you're being someone from the past. You know, I guess the best example, when you're talking about where does this begin and end, I guess the best example is when you think about someone like Amy Winehouse and you think about how she was seeped in early jazz and rhythm and blues and early Motown. But because she found producers and stuff around her that gave it a modern edge, it introduced all those old genres to a whole new age and generation of people that would not have known about them without Amy Winehouse. And so I think that's the real key, if you don't want to be a retro act, is to figure out what are the modern elements of today that inspire you and then how to infuse them into your work.
No, yeah, I think that's definitely a good approach. And it's always amazing that you can bring that out to a new audience in the same way that an artist gets sampled, it brings it out to a new audience 2 decades later. So I really enjoy that as a listener as well as an artist. And so talking about new music coming forward, you talked about your jazz album. I know that the Vintage Trouble has had 3 full-length albums released, 2 EPs and a new single. Are you guys planning to release a new album soon?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just about to say that, too, because I know that we don't have too much more time. We wrote a lot of our new album prior to, and even recorded demos, prior to getting into this quarantine time. And so with that, we have a whole album that we've been perfecting in quarantine, sending back and forth to through our home studios, recording new parts, adding new bells and whistles. We're working with an amazing producer and, you know, a producer I've been a fan of for many years. And then we get to make this record to be released who knows when, because we are in this time. There's so many artists that are releasing albums now because they do know that they don't want to hold on to their material until we're able to tour again, because then it's just going to feel so old to them and they're going to have written so many new things by then. But how do you release it without being able to do a promotional tour? So in our minds, we're trying to be these artists that are not going to feel like this time in quarantine is limbo or purgatory. So we're going to try and figure out how to release our record sometime when it's done and how to make it reach people without a tour cycle. That's going to be the game to figure out, and to even try and pretend we have any ideas about how to do that perfectly would be a lie, because we've never been in this situation. So we're just going to try and figure it out, and we're going to try and finish this record, and we're going to try and get it to people as soon as possible. And that way, once we go on the road, you know, there'll probably be a new record that will just be coming out, you know, as well as a record that people have probably been listening to for a year, which will be exciting, because the first time you'll do a concert, people will know that record already that you've never toured, you know?
Yeah, that's very cool. That's awesome. And I look forward to 2020 as well, once we have vaccine and medication to be able to get back on the road as well. So for my last question, as we wrap up, it's going to be a two-parter. What is some advice that you would give someone starting out in music business? And then what do you want to be most remembered for musically?
Okay, so the advice part I would give is be strong in your thoughts about what the world needs from you. So whatever your individual spark is, how can you brighten that the most so you're not being like anyone else, but you are so uniquely you that no one else can be that find what makes you unlike anyone else, but don't try so hard to be different at the same time. That's what I would suggest for a new artist. That's the spiritual part of it. The technical part is tenacity for new artists. It's just do, release, release, release. There are no wrongs and no rights right now. You can release a song with you playing piano and then release it, that same song 2 years later on a record. Don't be so precious about what you're releasing. Get feedback from your fans about what they like. Take what you want to take in and let what you don't want to fuck your mind up with, let that go. That's the technical part. As far as what I would like to be remembered for is my heart and my soul. You know, there's a beginning song that people play on the piano called Heart and Soul. I did it as a kid. We all do it. We start playing piano. We don't realize how important heart and soul is. If I can be remembered for anything, more so than any note, more so than any lyric, more so than any spin jump from a mic, more so than anything I do technically, I would like to be remembered for the way I make people cry, how I make them laugh, and how I ignite them. And I work every day as a person and as a musician towards making that power of mine be more at hand to more people.
Well, I definitely think that you're already doing that. We'll most certainly be remembered for heart and soul. To me, you're dripping with soul, and that's always nice to see. And I think people making the comparison to James Brown is good, because I think overall James Brown and yourself give a lot of energy. You can really give 100% on stage and to the fans, and I think that's the most important. So I appreciate, again, you taking the time to speak with us today, and it was so great to get to know you on this more personal level, and I'm excited to share
Thank
this
you.
With our fans. Once this gets out and everything, we'll send
also,
you the links and everything so you have it.
Yeah, and if you want to get the most current link, we did on the Vintage Trouble Facebook page and on my page, we did this thing over the weekend that was maybe Sit at Home series or something. There's a link to it on my page. It's with the 88.5. If they recorded it so well, the audio is so good. If people want to see what we're doing during this time of quarantine, that's the link I would suggest. I'll send you that link right now to your phone that you're talking to me on.
Excellent. Yes, we talked with the people from Mookie and KCSN, so we knew you were doing something with them, and we saw you're going to be on a compilation from them as well, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, we did that. That was exciting, but more exciting than it being written, and I'm glad I'm talking to you now, because I need to get in touch with them to let them know. Technically, as far as how that turned out, it's so mind-blowing. When people make you feel better than you think you could have ever sounded or felt or looked, especially on this time of, you know, trying to transmit over these computers and things, they really were flawless. I haven't seen anything better, you know. And I know as far as live streams, I also have to acknowledge weekly live streams, I have to acknowledge our team at Harvell's, because again, I feel proud that we can just step into that and they make us look that good. So those two things, I would suggest that people watch our live streams and that people watch the link that I will be sending you.
Excellent. We'll definitely post those links. Yes, we have we have our first live with Harvell's in 2 weeks.
Nice.
We're excited. Sweet. But definitely keep in touch and send us those links. And once this is out, we'll send you the link so that you can listen to it and
cool.
put it out.
Well, I'll send you a link and you send me your favorite link back of you.
Most certainly will.
Okay, cool. Great talking to you. Thanks.
Great talking to you, Ty. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks once again for listening to Deeper Grooves, Musicians on Music, hosted by Cliff Beach and sponsored by California Soul Music Record Label. I had a pleasure speaking with Ty Taylor from Vintage Trouble about their new single, Not All Right By Me, and more. I'd like to thank our engineer, Tim Hall, and 1192 Studios for mixing and mastering this recording today. If you like this and you want to hear more, you can check us out online at californiasoulmusic.com/deepergrooves. Until then, keep the soul alive. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.